Is this Survivor? What? Bro, are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Survivor. Buffs, Blindsides, and Banter podcast is the podcast made by superfans, with superfans, for superfans. I'm your host, Buckles, and with me I've got my mate, Mac. Mac, how you doing?
Buckles, my man. I'm back. Mac is back. I'm doing better than I was last week. For those who listened to last week's episode with Jordan, good episode, by the way. I thought you guys handled it really well. I missed it because I had influenza A, and that's a horrible disease. My daughter got it from daycare and passed it on to me. And knocked me around for a full week. I'm still got the end of it. Missed a few days of work. It's a horrible time, I'll be honest. But I had Survivor podcast keep me going through it. And look, I don't agree with everything you guys said because some of it was nonsense. But,
bullshit.
Some of it was pretty good. Jordan pretty much predicted the whole episode. So yeah. Good on him.
Yeah, no, look, last week's podcast was one of my favorite podcasts I've ever done. Very enjoyable. Wow. And we went a lot longer than the episode went. So that was interesting. I think that's our longest US podcast. I couldn't even cut it off because there was just so much good stuff coming out of Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, I did the edit. It did cut down a bit, but to say the best podcast you've ever done, well, that's a bit of a shots fired at me.
I said one of the best podcasts I've ever done.
Okay.
Mate, settle down. You're still
Should I be worried for my job?
No, you shouldn't be worried for your job. I think Jordan's got bigger and better things.
Oh, wow. He's too good for us.
He's too good to replace you.
Hey, where's my coffee? Well, I haven't got my coffee yet either.
we'll be working that out soon. Working that out very, very soon.
No doubt. Look forward to it.
Okay. All right, well, I think where I want to start this episode pretty much starts at the right spot. We welcome Mariah into this game. I mean, Aubrey, sorry. Liz. Liz, okay. So whose move was this, Mac? Was this Venus's? Was this Liz's? I'm guessing you thought it was Tevin's by giving him the buff last week.
Yeah. I think that's sort of like the big meta question I have for the whole episode. Like when you vote someone out, who gets the credit for the move? Is it the person? I mean, essentially you need more than one vote to do it. So there's plenty of moving parts involved. Plenty of people need to vote for that person. So how do you take credit? Is it the person that gathers the most numbers together to get them on side? Is it the person who sort of, gives a fake plan to the person who's getting voted out? Is it? How do you decide? And we see, both Venus and Tevin claiming it. And now Liz sort of out of nowhere says, this is my move as well. It's like, because she wanted to vote her out from the start, which is a valid reason as well. But it's sort of hard. How do you get credit for things? And, I mean, I gave it to Tevin. That's why I gave him the buff. I thought he was the one to get Charlie Maria on side. He was the one that has Liz as well. So to me, it was his move. I mean, obviously Venus is she wants to take everything for herself and, he's very high about it as well, as we see throughout the episode. For Liz to come on board and say, hey, no, it wasn't any of you. It was me. I thought it was really interesting. Definitely wrong. I don't think it was her move at all, but yeah, what do you think?
Let's discuss this because, I tend to agree. Like, last week, I was well and truly, this is Tevin's move, okay? And now we can sort of push Venus aside because she just didn't have the social capital to pull this off. If everyone wanted to go a different way and it wasn't in their best interest, Soda wouldn't have gone home last week because of Venus. So I'm going to push Venus aside, say she doesn't get the credit for the move. Tevin put in the work last week. So, this last tribal council. So I genuinely believe he was the forerunner of the move. He was the figurehead, etc. However, how much credit do we give to Liz for, from our knowledge and from exit interviews, etc., from Soda and stuff, Liz had been undermining Soda for the entire game, pretty much. She had been wanting Soda out. This was her first chance to get Soda out, other than the double tribal, the big merge vote.
Yeah.
And she had withered her way into the alliance with Tevin and Hunter and sort of pushed Soda aside. So she put the work in behind that. She'd been undermining Soda constantly and pushing Soda's name down. And we hear this from Soda. We hear this from Liz. And we've known from Liz for a long time that she wants Soda out. How much credit do we give the long-term move? The long-term of pretty much making Tevin not trust Soda, pumping up how big of a social threat Soda is to Tevin and Hunter. Is this a long, full game move from Liz, or is this a immediate, quick move from Tevin?
Well, that's interesting, because I think if you're talking long-term moves, just not liking someone and wanting them out is not enough for me to say it's your credit, because when you want to action that plan, when you have the chance to vote them out, when they're not immune, when there's numbers that you can work with, you still need to corral those numbers. And that means you need the social capital. And from what we've seen, Liz doesn't really have any. Now, a caveat there was that saying she wanted Tevin out this episode and she got her way really quickly. She found these numbers and it's like, oh, maybe she is a lot more socially endeared to these people than we thought, or than we've seen, at least. We haven't seen any of this.
Yeah.
So perhaps she is more powerful than we thought. But I guess the reason I gave Tevin the buff last week is because all we've seen from Tevin all season, despite not going to tribal council, is this social mastermind who's sort of at the center of all these alliances. And I thought he finally used all that capital he built up to get a move he wanted to do. So that was the reason I gave him the buff. And we didn't have that sort of same thing from Liz, because she didn't have all these people that she was chatting with. She really only had Tevin and Hunter from our vantage point. That's all we've seen. So while she might have wanted Soda out for a long time, that just could just be a personality clash where I don't like this person, I want them gone. And that's fine, but to credit her with the move is, I think, a bit too much for me.
Yeah. So, okay, look, I tend to agree with you. Crediting her with the move. We don't have enough knowledge on this. From the information we got from Soda from her exit interview, we got a lot of Liz, like Soda knew Liz was undermining her in front of everyone, was just constantly like, oh my God, Soda, if you get to the end, you'll win the game. And that constant sort of pushing down to the Tevin, the Hunter. And like Tevin, as we talked about, Tevin was going to go for Soda before merge. She seriously was. She was going to, seriously was. He was going to go for Soda before merge, which we decided was a horrible move. You want to get Venus out, and then you go into merge with a four that you're pretty much in charge of, and you're the link between everyone. Tevin then makes this move now, and it will be interesting when we hear from Tevin, because I haven't listened to his exit interview as of yet. And Liz, when she eventually gets out, and hear their what they think happened, and did Liz plant the idea in Tevin's mind a week ago or a week and a half ago, and then in turn Tevin makes this move now? Because we've got to say that people definitely get credit for manipulating someone into doing a move for them, and me and Jordan made the very we made the decision that it was a bad move for Tevin last week, which I think, to a point, has been proved now by this last episode. So I guess it's, like big moves and subtle moves can be the same thing. And subtlety from Liz over the entire game, if she is literally pretty much, because Tevin and Soda were so close at the start of the game, could Liz have just steamrolled this and just pushed it down?
Well, I think it's a bit of like the chicken and the egg, what came first. So is it, Liz hates Soda and Tevin's thinking, oh, if I want to go for Soda, I know Liz is on board. Or is it Liz hates Soda, so I planted these seeds in Tevin's idea that Soda's a good person to get out. So it's, you could sort of see it both ways. And I guess it all depends where the story's coming from. And everyone's a hero of their own story. And in that regard, they can both claim it, but I guess what we see in the edit is all we can go off. And if the editors thought it's Tevin's move, then I guess it's Tevin's move. And that might not be accurate, but that's the best way they could tell the story. So there mustn't be enough information out there from Liz to say it's her move, so they have to give it to someone else. And we see, you know, Venus takes it, but then we see sort of Tevin say, no, it was me. So,
yeah, it was interesting seeing Venus gloat to everyone, then Tevin gloat to Liz, and then Liz gloat to the camera.
Yeah, everyone's fighting over the same piece of meat. And Venus is just on another planet in terms of what she thinks she's doing versus what is reality, which is, it's fine to be confident in yourself and your game, which is, I think it's actually a very good thing to have. But when everyone is constantly undermining you in their confessionals saying, oh, Venus thinks she's the mastermind, Venus thinks she had this move, Venus is doing all these things, and they're laughing at you, it really paints a picture as to what's actually happening out there.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It really does. But I think we've talked enough about Venus this season to the point that I don't think there's a whole lot more we need to talk about with Venus.
I think my question about Venus, can I just quickly?
Yeah.
Why is she so beloved? Like, I get that she's like aloof and she's very like, oh, she's airy fairy, doesn't know what's going on. Why do people love her so much? Like, she's okay. I don't love her, but.
Oh, she's entertaining as fuck. Yeah. I think you've said it yourself in the past. Good gameplay isn't the best TV.
There's plenty of people that make good TV, and I guess I enjoy someone like a Venus's just inability to grasp with reality. I think that's fun to watch, but I don't particularly like her that much at all.
I very much enjoy her as a character. I think she's a hoot and a half, and she's genuinely just, she's full on herself. You can see her flaws. Unfortunately, she doesn't see her flaws. And it's just interesting to watch. It's interesting to watch her thinking how much power she has.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think I talked last week, her strategies aren't horrible. She's got a strategic mind on her. She just doesn't have the social capital to pull anything off. But
exactly.
Let's get off Venus. For the first week, we don't have to discuss Venus in depth.
No, that's fair.
This is like the first week. Let's talk about Liz. Like, this is, what a week for Liz. Like, coming out of a shell, as you said, Jordan like picked this last week. Coming out of a shell, this was a whopper. She had, to me, it looked like she had more power than Q in this tribal council alone. I'm not talking about next one.
Yeah, but like, where did this come from? Like, we have seen nothing to suggest this was even possible from Liz. Like, we've not seen her really talk to anybody on our screen. Like, we've not seen that footage to see she has social connections. But within, you know, a few minutes of the show, she's like, I want Tevin out. Bang, she gets Kenzie, she gets Tiff, she gets Ben, she gets Charlie Maria. And it's like, how? Where has this social capital been? And she must just be doing a great job of connecting with everyone and I guess maybe seemingly have a low threat level. And when she's like, oh, I've decided that I want to start playing, everyone's like, oh, how good is this? Let's play with Liz. Like, we love Liz. We want to play with her. So really interesting seeing her rise up out of the pack and just take over. Shocking to me.
Yeah, it was so shocking. It was, as you said, came from absolutely nowhere. And she's just taken up the reins. And I think the most interesting part was that conversation where it's like Hunter's trying to sort of push, why are we voting Tevin out? Why are we voting Tevin out? Which we'll get into like the Hunter and the Q of it all a bit later. But, and Liz is like, I don't care what you do, I'm voting Tevin. And pretty much putting her foot down, she in her mind, she knows she's got the whole other group, the other five that are sitting over there other than Tevin. And she has so much power here. And I think this is almost a shame from the editors that we haven't seen this to this point.
Yeah.
We haven't seen where this power came from.
No, we haven't, and that's the thing. But like, I think my question is, was this a good idea? Like, we see Tevin and Liz as this tight pair. She's Tevin's number two, I suppose, next to Hunter. Liz has no one else, seemingly. So was this the right idea?
No, I don't think this was the right idea for Liz.
Okay. No, I agree. I think it's
Just like I said with Tevin last week, it wasn't the right idea to get rid of Soda, which was an option for him in the future. Liz, this was not a good idea to get rid of Tevin. Yes, Liz, you now have a big move on your resume. I completely give you this move, and well done. I didn't, before this episode, I probably wouldn't have thought you had the social capital to pull this move off. Congratulations, Liz, you've got a big move. Just because it's a big move, does that mean it's the right move? Tevin made a big move last week. He was easily gotten this week. Could this be, could Liz, like we've seen the new age of Survivor, big moves, the leader of those moves tend to go.
Yeah, it was a move solely based out of emotion only about I wanted credit and Tevin got it, so I'm angry, I'm going to take him out. And that's, yeah, we've said it in the past, you shouldn't get emotional, but well, I've also said, you know, I was critical of Mariah for not getting emotional enough. So you've got to find that balance. And I thought this was too emotional for what it was. It wasn't like you lost a number. It wasn't, nothing happened against you. It was someone else getting credit. And that's something you sort of have to put your ego aside and let someone else take the credit, because that's the best way to be. Someone else having credit is perfect for you. She sort of didn't do that and she got too emotional. This is my move and I'm going to make sure everyone knows it.
Yeah, exactly. In this new age of Survivor, like the winners, they don't have huge moves on their resumes till the final tribal council where they explain them. We look at Dee last year and she pulled off some fucking great moves, but she made sure that she was in the shadows, that they didn't know. Julie took the blame, etc. Like, she really did a great job of doing that. Jam Jam's another example. He wasn't the forefront of any of the moves. Carson looked like he was more the director. And then obviously Gabler,
it didn't really do much.
I think just saying the name just explains it all. Making a big move, especially like there's still it's 9 people to go.
It's a long way out.
We've still got 5 votes before final 4 fire making. And like there's 5 votes before final 4 fire making. You don't want to be that leader. And you let the Qs, you let the Tevins be that top person, be that person waving the wand. Yes, I made this move. Yes, I'm running this tribe, blah, blah, blah. You hide behind them. You cut them at 7. You cut them at 6. Bang, all of a sudden you're in the 5.
Yeah, I think the days of having this massive resume and getting to the end and winning are pretty much done, because you can't, you do it too early and you just expose yourself and you get voted out. So you have to find the balance of doing enough to be respected when you sit at the end. But if you go over the top and claim all these things, it just adds this extra target on you. So like when we see Venus trying to claim this thing, that's such a poor move from her gameplay, because like let's pretend she did make the move, that's fine. Yeah. No one needs to know who did it until the end. And if you can pull that out of your hat and it be accurate and people can validate that, that's all you need. So we're sitting up there at the camp saying, I did this, it's my move, it's a horrible play. Like we saw Emily do it last season when she claimed the Bruce move and bang, she was gone next in that episode. So it's, you don't want to expose yourself as this, I'm the master at the moment, because you won't make it to the end. But you want to do enough to be respected if you get there. So you have to find that balance.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I just want to mention, we get a confessional from Q when he's talking about Tiff, and he just calls out the reason Tiff doesn't want to take Venus out, and Q says, this isn't old school Survivor. You don't take goats to the end. And like pretty much in like giving us another notch that Venus is possibly going to be a zero vote finalist.
I mean, I think we've sort of thought this for a little while now, and I guess hearing that validates it. But I think Q is playing a very different game to everyone else. And I think whatever he says, we can't really take as gospel, because he's not playing the same way. Like, people want to take go to the end. I think just because he says it doesn't mean not the right play.
Exactly.
So, I do think that a goat will be taken to the end, and it probably will be Venus.
Yeah, I'm more reading into actually what he said in the edit with that than what he's for the edit, not for he actually said.
Yeah, okay, bro.
But while we're on cue, do we want to get into it? Like,
let's get stuck into him.
Let's get stuck into him. Like, Q is at the top of the Buffs leaderboard. He's been pretty much running this game this entire time, to some extent. And is this his worst episode?
Well, I think it's a, for me, it's a bit of a 2 week
arc. Mate, I don't know if I can do this. I made a mistake there in what I said. I might have to quit.
Can I vote you out this podcast?
Can you vote me out? Yeah. Is that cool? Mate. Is that cool?
Yeah. He's turning into, I mean, he's done this before in the pre-merge twice. I think he has to be voted out.
Yeah.
He's got this real martyr complex about him where he needs to be one to fall on his sword because it's, you know, the noble way. And while there is nobility in being a martyr, I think there's also a sense of egotism and wanting to be the main character. And I think what Q's biggest fault is, he doesn't realise he's playing a game where other people are actually trying to play as well. He thinks this is only playing by – he's the only one playing.
It's the Q game, mate.
It's the Q game. And that's a really dangerous place to be when you think you have to do everything. You have to – call all the shots. Everything has to run through you because ultimately it doesn't. And there's 9 other people out there who also want to play Survivor and they want to play it their own way and however they want to do. And whilst I think he's done a great job so far in the merge of somehow amassing a lot of power and a lot of numbers, I think it's been a 2 week decline for Q where he's put himself virtually on the bottom through his own doing as well. Yeah. This did not need to happen. He's cut his own feet off and now he's literally the bottom of the totem pole. And honestly, I'd be shocked if he doesn't go home next week. But it was all out of ego and Q's game and, you know, this sense of the idea of vote me out because I made a mistake is so self-indulged that he can't see it either.
Yeah. Look, I'm no psychologist, okay? I'm not a Kelly. I can't say in the end that I'm a psychologist, but I do understand Q's sort of train of thought and that martyr, as you talked about, that martyr sort of personality trait. And that is, I stuffed up, so I deserve all the blame. And I think that comes from parenting. I know that in the past I've done something wrong. And someone's been like, okay, sort of like, what punishment should you give me? And I'm like, fucking give me it all. I deserve it all. I deserve it. So I can definitely see where he's coming from that. But Q, yes, we've seen this multiple times. And it's just, it's almost emotional in his head. It's like, oh, I've stuffed up. Okay, vote me out. And then they convince him not to. It was very confusing, this episode in this tribal council.
Yeah, it's confusing for sure. I think as a parent myself, I'll probably push back on that. I don't know if it's a parenting thing. I think it's an elite athlete thing. And I mean, I'm not an elite athlete, but I played sports at a good level. And I think when you're in a sports team, especially, you hold yourself to a really high account of your standards. And when those standards drop, if you make an error, you really do take it on yourself. Like, I let the team down. Like, I'm taking it personally. I should be better because I trained for this. And Q, coming from an elite athlete background, he probably sees his life the same way. Like, I've done something wrong and I shouldn't have because I expect such high standards from myself. So when he's made this error, and I use that term very loosely, telling Hunter I don't think was a huge error. I think what Hunter did with information was, I guess, resulted in an error. But telling Hunter wasn't an error and he's sort of really taken it personally, like, oh, I've let the team down and, you know, I need to be punished for this. So to me, it's more of a sports thing rather than a parenting thing.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, I'll take that on board.
Yeah. When you have kids, you'll understand.
I don't have to worry about that. So don't worry. So I'll never understand. There you go. No, that's interesting. I like that.
Do you think it was a big mistake, bro? Like, do you think telling Hunter that Tevin's going home, to me, that's not that big an error. You want to get Hunter, hey, mate, like, we might lose Tevin today, but we're still tight. Like, you want to still have that relationship. So I think telling Hunter wasn't a bad idea.
Yeah, I agree. I tend to agree. I don't see that as too bad of an idea. And just how Hunter handled it came out wrong. But at the same time, it's not like nothing changed. Like, the person that everyone wanted to go out still went out. Hunter just had a swing at trying to save him and it didn't work. And the truth is, if Hunter wanted to save him that bad, Hunter would have played the idol for him.
Well, I think that would have been a mistake. I think that would have been a huge
Actually, I'm not too sure about it. And let's get into this now. Fuck it. Let's get into this now. Would it have been a mistake if Hunter played the idol? Why do you believe that it's a mistake?
Well, I think already we've seen Hunter. Everyone knows that he's this massive challenge threat. And now if he plays an idol and his number one saves him, for one, he's exposed now with no idol. Two, it elevates his gameplay. He's done this massive move for the regiment, the biggest move of the season, saving someone with an idol. It's one of the biggest things you can do in the game. So if that comes off successfully, it's such a bad look for him. It's hard to come back from that without, like, you're such a long way from the end that he would almost have to win every immunity challenge there on out. So it would just make his road so much harder that it would be a mistake for me.
Okay. I love your thinking there. I completely agree with everything that you're saying. I do believe that there are other ways you give Tavern the idol and get him to play it for himself. There are other ways around that than it becoming your move.
Yeah.
So I will sort of push back there a little bit on that. But what's Hunter's route now? He has lost his greatest ally. Okay. The six seems to have crumbled. He has won immunity and he's won his first immunity, probably one or two too early.
Yeah.
And what's his route to the end now? Hunter as a winner went down 30% in my books after this episode. The route to the end, we've talked about, he gets to final seven with an idol in his pocket. I think he wins the game. I think he somehow gets to the end. He uses the idol when he needs to. He wins at fire. Hunter gets through. At final nine, it's a bit early.
It's a long way.
It's a long way. And the idol only helps him for one episode unless he can push something.
Yeah.
Well, if he can do a Ferris and maybe get him through like two tribal councils, use that implicit immunity and maybe win an individual immunity, like he could genuinely get through. But losing Tevin, like, is the idol more powerful or is having Tevin in this game more powerful? Because Tevin's a good social shield for him and Tevin trusts him.
Yeah, I mean, an alliance member that's loyal is always better than an idol. I'll stand by that. But not only did he lose Tevin in this vote, he must have lost Liz as well. Like, there's three Namis that were together. Surely now, Liz targeting Tevin, that Liz is now not an option for Hunter either. So where does he go? And I guess that brings me to the point of the six. And this alliance we've seen, I guess, dominate the early part of the merge. Whether or not they've actually dominated, I guess the storyline's dominated by them. And how the six just keeps falling apart. And, you know, at the time when they built it, I said it won't last. It's got no grounding. It's not no footing. It's baseless. There's nothing that joins the six together. It's literally six random people. Yeah, and then I was proved wrong for two episodes, but now I'm proved so right because everyone in the six is getting targeted. And this whole six alliance is just falling apart at the seams with Charlie's coming in and then we're going to get Tiff out. No, let's get Tevin out. And it's like, these are all part of the six.
Yeah,
and now this six and Q being the figurehead of this six, it's just all unraveled. So where does Hunter go? Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess he has Q still, but does anyone want to work with Q after that whole display at Tribal Council? Probably not.
Not to mention, so, Q doesn't want to work with Hunter. Like, Q's scared of Hunter after hide and seek, which I can't wait to talk about.
we'll have to get there. But I think the only saving grace I have for Hunter is that you've got people like Q and Venus, and I mean, Ben's is a wild card. And now Tiff's angry, Kenji's angry, all these people who have so much animosity and interesting gameplay built up inside them, Liz as well, that he might just be able to stand there, do nothing, and not be targeted because they're all going for each other because they're all hating everyone and there's so much going on. And Hunter could just be like the straight man in the corner doing nothing and find his way to the end.
I love it.
I honestly see that's how it's going.
It genuinely could. That's the only route I see for Hunter is if everyone sort of cannibalizes themselves and Hunter somehow comes out not being the biggest threat in each tribal council for a bit till he can get some footing.
Yeah.
Till he can start winning a few immunity challenges, play his idol correctly, and bang, Hunter's at the end and wins. So do you think the path was easier or harder without Tevin?
Well, I think it's harder because having Tevin there is that connection to more people. And I think Tevin was one of the most connected people, seemingly, just through his personality and, you know, the way he is. So losing that, you really lose any... We haven't really seen Hunter talk to people. Like, we don't know who he's close with.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen him in a conversation with Charlie or Maria yet? No.
No.
Have you seen him talk to Kenzie or Tiff? Not really. So who does he talk to? We don't know. But having Tevin there as like a middleman, as, hey, this is my friend Hunter. He's going to play with us. Like, you want that person to bond you to other people. So losing that is a massive loss. But like I said, with the, so many big personalities in the game that are all looking at each other, I do think Hunter is being that, I guess, quieter type.
Yeah, that introvert. Yeah, he's very introvert.
Yeah. Despite him, his size and his obvious skill factor in the challenges, and that's a threat in itself, I don't think they're going to care enough to get him out. I just think they're going to kill each other first.
Yeah, I agree. We get a lot of confessionals from Charlie saying how shaky this six is at the start of the episode. Like, this is shaky. The shakiest six. This is not good. And yeah, like, should they have brought Charlie in? Should they have made it a six? Did it need to still be a six? Like, you get through one vote and five fucking dominates you to the end.
Well, that's the thing. They already had enough.
Yeah. And yeah, Hunter, I love that. Hunter's personality might be the thing that saves him. And it's because of his lack of possible personality, his lack of, well, no, not lack of personality. That's probably too critical. That lack of being aggression in a social setting.
He's the opposite of Q. Q's this person where he's doing everything in the game, whereas Hunter's like, I'm happy to let these people play their own game and I can work it in around them.
Yeah.
And that's a really underrated skill.
Yeah, but not having any close allies now makes it very difficult. He needed that Tevin. Could, say, a Kenzie become the new Tevin for him?
I mean, potentially you could pick up someone, but, like, I don't know who that person is. Kenzie, potentially, but like I said, I've not seen them talk at all. Yeah. So that's not to say they're not talking, but I don't understand why he would go there first. I think Q is his
best bet. Well, I don't think Q's his best bet. I think withdrawing himself from Q's his best bet.
Yeah, it is a sinking ship.
A sinking ship, and the closer he looks like he is with Q, the more of a target and the more of a reason he could be to say they get Q out, and then all of a sudden a settling vote. Let's get Hunter out because he was with Q before we go at each other's throats.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
So
yeah, like, he's literally just on. At the moment, he's similar to Ben, where Ben has no one, but he's sort of just finding his way through. I guess this episode is built a little bit with Kenzie and Tiff especially. So it only takes one episode to sort of find your way into a small group, which you might be able to insulate yourself in for a vote or two.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And like we said, we've Hunter so many times. Like, he doesn't have to, you know, be in this big alliance. All he has to do is get to a final seven even, a final six, and he's virtually there.
And he can get to the end. Like, his idol's still secret. No one knows he's got it.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I thought an option for him was give Tevin the idol, get Tevin to play it for himself. And because Tevin, I believe, would keep that secret, that it was actually Hunter's for at least a little bit till Hunter became so threatening that Tevin had to explode it. But that's the. But then again, then they get Tevin out next episode. Like, if they're that gung ho, like, Q couldn't change this. Q with all the power couldn't change this. Liz has more power than Q.
Yeah, Q lost his power, and the votes were getting on Tevin. He couldn't do anything about it, and he made this error. So, yeah, sometimes you just got to let it go, but, like, that's the thing. Survivor's not going to always go your way. You need to step back and say, hey, I've lost this battle, but I'm still in the game, and that's all that matters, essentially.
Yeah. Okay. All right, look, the truth is we've been going for a while, and we haven't even got into some of the biggest parts of this episode, like the negotiation.
What so negotiation?
No rice.
Was there a negotiation?
Yeah. Oh, two of you can lose your vote, mate.
Ah, true, I suppose. That was an interesting wrinkle on it. What do you think of that?
Horrible. No one's going for that. No, you would have to have so much control in this game and be so confident to lose your vote. We've seen people go on these journeys and do things that they want to do for the survivor experience, but they can't because they don't want to lose their vote.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we saw that this episode, like, with this challenge as well. Like, people wanted to do the challenge so badly that it wasn't worth the rice.
Yeah.
And I guess the person I feel sorry for is Liz, who can't eat anything, can't eat coconut, can't eat papaya. She's not eating, and she's like, I want the rice, please help me out. And, you know, I can understand not wanting to sit out a challenge, but like Q said, like, you're not all going to win, and some of you just can't win. Like, it's not a challenge that anyone can win. So you sort of got a falling sword there, don't you?
Yeah, I really think so. I think Jeff really missed an opportunity here because he could have got Charlie out. He genuinely, Charlie was debating it. Like, if all of a sudden, Jeff, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, okay, I'll take 3. 1,
yeah,
bang. Yeah. I reckon Charlie jumps forward.
Well, that would be a proper negotiation.
That's a proper negotiation.
Where both sides give in a little bit. So exactly. Jeff didn't want that. Jeff was a dictator, which is fine. But
We should have called this a negotiation if he keeps doing it like this. And the closest thing we got was he asked for even more. And I genuinely believe that is your vote is a lot bigger than not going in a challenge you'll probably lose.
Oh, I totally agree. What he should have done is what he did at the first episode of the season is like, you're not all going to win. Like, some of you just cannot win. He should have just said that to the people at the challenge. Like, this challenge is not designed for every one of you. You must sit out. Like, you're not going to win it. So he should have been more brutal. But, you know, it was an interesting moment, I suppose.
Yeah, it was. And then, obviously, it pisses off Q, which is always fun to watch.
Yeah.
So Q was pretty upset getting back to Joel Cancel. How about Hunter and that... pole dancing move.
That would have impressed you as a pole dancer.
I can do that. It's really cool.
I think this was a poor move by Hunter. And whilst
well and truly,
like, you've just won the challenge, and I know he wasn't rubbing it in because that's not how it came across. But why make it seem that you've done this so easily? I'm just going to flip upside down. Like, this is a really bad look for you. You're already seen as this challenge beast. Why enhance that?
Yeah. Completely agree. I don't know why he did that. And that was a bad read by Hunter. Hunter unfortunately didn't have the best episode. And could this be the downfall? We've seen the downfall of Q over the last few weeks. Could this be the downfall of Hunter?
I mean, potentially. It just seemed a bit out of character as well. Like, we have not seen Hunter as this flamboyant sort of fun character either. So for him to do that just seemed not in line with his personality.
Yeah. I agree. Okay, so let's talk about the actual strategy in this episode. Let's talk about where the numbers lied, where they all went over the episode. It jumbled around quite quickly and in quite quick succession. So we've got, okay, Tiff talks to Tevin about pretty much, oh, let's get out of Maria. She seems like she's pretty hectic, like Venus isn't a threat. She's not going anywhere. Tevin tells Q. Q's like, fuck this. You've gone for someone in the six. That gives me justification to take out someone in the six. And which is interesting from Q that he jumped to this so quickly. But at the same time, later in the episode, when the Tevin vote starts to get steam, starts to go with it, Q seems to jump to the Tevin vote without too much of an issue. And I'd love to know, could this have been because he didn't want to lose Tiff? Because Tiff is his closest ally?
Well, he's the one that throws Tiff's name out there.
So I know. I completely agree. It's interesting.
It's really strange because, you know, we've seen Tiff and Q as his pair, you know, virtually the whole game. And she wants to target Maria, which, you know, inside the six. I get all that. And he's so protective of the six that is so baseless. Hey, where are we going with this?
I think you said it there. I think... Genuinely, you've said it there, like you're struggling to gather your thoughts because it's an unfathomable sort of thought process from Q. You just don't understand where he's going with it. And like, obviously, he's given in by the end of the episode and he's like, okay, Tevin can go. He's part of the six. He's gone. And he votes correctly. No one actually takes what he says seriously at Tribal Council where he quits because he made a mistake telling Hunter. And as we talked about, we don't think that was too much of an actual mistake. But I'm just wondering, did he go, like, was this all a plan? Because at the same time, did you get that feeling in Tribal Council that Q was about to ask Tiff to play her idol for him and he was going to get all the votes on him and then vote out someone that he wanted? Did you get that sense as well?
I didn't like the Raymond strategy. No, I didn't get that.
Okay.
I thought it was funny that he thought the votes were going on Tiff because what we saw was sort of never that way. The votes were always going Tevin, and maybe he did want to lose Tevin, but Tiff, the numbers on Tiff were only the three, Hunter, Q and Tevin. So Tiff was always safe from what I thought. So it was very hard. Like, the thing is, if Q wants to keep this six alive and it's sort of in the six's best interest to go through one more vote, why not get him all, sit them all down? Like, we've seen him coach people one-on-one. Why can't he do like a group coaching session, sit him down, hey guys, we are the six. We have enough numbers. Can we not decide someone who's not sitting here with us? Yeah. Just get them out.
Just like, anyone that's not sitting here.
Well, the one that immediately jumps out to me is Ben. He seems the obvious outlier where he has no one tied to him or Venus, but like no one that is batting for them. Like, why are these two not being targeted? Like, I don't get it.
I think Maria and Charlie probably have a bit more say than they realise. And I'm actually going to put it to you. I'd love to do my buff now, but we'll wait till the end of the episode. Who has the most power in this episode? Even more than Liz, so to speak.
Well, I would have thought, Liz probably. But I guess, Maria and Charlie are seemingly in the middle, but they're not
every episode. They are deciding who is going home. Without their votes, none of these plans work out. Maria and Charlie have had the most decisions in this game out of anyone. Because if they don't go, if Maria and Charlie don't want Tevin to go, I believe Tiff goes home. Or a Venus. If they don't want Tevin to go, I don't think they get the numbers because Q doesn't jump on, etc. Ben possibly doesn't jump on. Maria and Charlie seem like they have the power. They are in the driver's seat, the swing position constantly, every episode. It's great.
They seem to be making
the right moves.
They are in the middle, but they didn't need to be on the Tevin side to get this vote across the line. Like, Liz had Kenzie and Tiff, Ben and Venus. So they already had 5 out of 10.
Do you genuinely believe Ben, if Charlie and Maria didn't stick around, didn't stay with that vote, that Ben wouldn't have voted with them?
So, I can see it from that side, if they take Ben away as well. But I don't know. Like, Ben is, to me, he's a bit of a free agent right now. He doesn't really have anyone. So
he's a free agent, but he's still got this original friendship with Seager that still means something. And Ben, we're not seeing a huge amount of strategic talk from Ben. We see that one where Liz brings it up to Maria, Charlie, and Ben. And Liz brings up, I'd like to get Tevin out. And Ben's like, are you sure that's the most logical move at this moment? She's bringing it to the Seager group.
Yeah.
I think Ben is with Maria and Charlie without us realizing. Without us seeing it reinforced.
Maybe, but he's also got that thing with Kenzie. So I think that might be still lingering there. There might still be some sort of loyalty there. Yeah. So, like, it's hard to know because we're not getting his thoughts on the matter. And we're not seeing Charlie and Maria and Ben. We're seeing Charlie and Maria. So it's not, while they might be a threesome, like surely we would know about that. They would tell us.
Well, then where the fuck does this come from? They don't tell us.
Well, that's very true as well. But, I mean, who knows? It sets up interesting for next week. I think there's a few little moving parts. There's a lot of now small groups. There's a few common enemies in Venus and Q. So there's a lot to look forward to for the rest of the season, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Talking about that, do we want to get into next week on Survivor?
Let's do it. Let's. Well, before we look at next week, let's see what you guys said last week.
Yeah.
Previously on Survivor.
And I think Liz's moment that I was speaking
is coming up next
week. Coming up. So I think Tevin is a goner.
Whoa. Jordan, your contacts at Channel 10 have gotten you in the Survivor community. Like, mate, you picked it. Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm calling a little bit.
Is he taking our job?
Well, I think he must have had a bit of a sneak peek or something because that's too accurate to get Liz rising out from nowhere. To say Liz is going to rise up and take Tevin out was such an outlandish claim. That good on him for doing it, but I'm going to suspect a bit of cheating.
Nah. He's called it. He's called it from good reads and his perception. Look, thinking back after realizing how exact he was, I sort of thought about the reasons he would have come to that conclusion, and they do make sense. There is definitely a storyline leading up to this event, but it was definitely an outlandish call. Yep,
he's too good for this podcast, that's for sure.
Too good, mate.
All right, well, let's see what,
because he's coming back next season.
yeah, that's it. Yeah. All right, let's see what you had to say.
The truth is, I'm going to disagree. I'm not sure if Kenzie and Tiff are going to keep Q around.
Okay.
I think him being such a figurehead and such a pain in the ass, I guess, to work with, gets the best of them. And I see the final 10 vote as being a Q. Q going home. No, I fucked up there.
Well, maybe you went off a week early. That's what I'm thinking.
One week early.
Yeah, like, it was sort of, the seeds have been planted for two episodes now.
Yeah.
And I can definitely see that Kenzie and Tiff are done with Q. So, yeah, look, you weren't far off, but you were definitely wrong.
Especially if it gets out that Q did have a plan against Tiff, which I think he doesn't have enough power to stop that getting out now.
Well, yeah, with Charlie telling Tiff about her idol, that's obviously a huge thing against Q. I can only see this spiraling out of control and him not being able to.
Yeah,
but then let's do our predictions properly then. So what do we think is going to happen next week on...
Next time on Survivor.
Hit
it okay. What do I think is going to happen next week? I'm going to just replay what I said last week.
Okay.
I think Q goes home. I think this is the storyline. I think Q has lost all his power, but it's still Q. And being that personality that he is, I don't see him handling being on the bottom well.
Yeah. No, it's give me a world where Q doesn't go home. It's hard to think of one. I think he's lost trust with every single person out there.
Yeah,
he was part of a plan which he's tried to change the tribal council, which nobody likes. The only thing that could save him is he now a draggable goat to the end? But I don't think he is. So
no, I think he's got a big enough moves and enough social capital, as we've talked about, that it's too scary bringing him to the end. He's not a Bruce. He's had more power. He's done more stuff. He's got a story. He's got a storyline. Even to this point, he's not a goat. I don't see Q getting to a final tribal council. Maybe he does get zero votes, but I feel like he gets at least a vote. Like, I feel like people take their hats off to him for controlling this game as long as he did.
I think it's just too volatile to try and take him to the end. Like, I think he's got too much going on. He's too loud. He's too abrasive. He could blow your game up at any point. It's too dangerous for someone to say, hey, let's drag him, because he might just destroy your game in the process. So I do think the Q will be the one to go home.
Yeah. I agree. Okay. Let's get a eulogy in, mate. Let's eulogize Tevin. And I love Tevin in this season. I think we didn't talk about Tevin enough in this season. He is a character and a half. He's so much fun. And that laugh, like, he is, I wish him luck for the future with his acting and stuff. I think he could be going places.
Oh, yeah, he's great. As a character, one of the best. He's just so much fun, entertaining confessionals. Loved everything about him. As a player, it's hard because Tsunami, like, they didn't go to tribal council. So he didn't do anything for so long. And it must be so hard to play the game for half the season and still not have a vote. So, yeah.
And when you do vote, I believe he made the wrong move.
Yeah, I mean, I was still going to stand by my buff last
week.
There was merit into ditching the Tsunami numbers, getting rid of Soda, de-threatening your overall threat level as a group. I think there's nothing wrong with that. But I guess he lost a loyal number, and if Soda's there this week instead of, say, a Venus, yeah, maybe this whole thing doesn't go down right because Soda's there backing him up. That's the only thing. You're losing an alliance person who's on your side. You're losing someone that bats for you in conversations where you're not there. So maybe it was wrong, but, you know, I stand by my decision.
Yeah, look, as a player, I think Tevin, as a social player, he was unprecedented. It was amazing. He was very, very gifted, and people could see it. Well, not unprecedented. Like, is it Caleb? Caleb from last season.
Yeah.
Very similar. Very similar. Went out in a similar spot. He's very social and gone. As a character, huge, huge. Memorable moment, I think, is him opening the season for me.
Yeah.
It was, that was chilling. That was one of the best openings I've seen in a long time. Just how he said it and that conviction in his voice. And will he return? I genuinely believe he has a chance. He's up in a pretty hard archetype, that Caleb sort of, who else would we put in that? Almost Jam archetype. Yeah. Caleb, Jam, those big social threats that just are loved by everyone. But I see him as a standout in those.
Yeah, yeah. He's in the top few of those. But even with those ones, like, you can have several of them on a season. And not seven, but many.
So, several. Yeah, no, there's seven. Seven on a season. Like, let's have seven each season. Let's make the season social juggernauts versus something
else. Yeah, why not? Like, that's a valid thing. Like, it would be a lot of fun. So you can have – he's the type of guy with so much charisma that everyone wants to see him play again for sure. So it's sort of hard because we didn't see enough of him in terms of a game player sort of – He didn't play the game enough. So I'd love to see him come back and actually have to work from the start, and it'd be a lot of fun. So
yeah.
Tevin will be missed.
Yes, he will be. He will be. Okay, let's get into Buckle's buff of the episode. And, mate, do you want to – seems that you fucked up your buff last week. Do you want to get it right this week?
Don't think I stuffed it up. All right, this week's buff. Yeah, I mean, look, by process of elimination almost – It's got to be Liz, right? Like, she's put this all together. Do I think the motives behind it were great? No. I think it was emotional. Do I think it sort of sets her up long term? Not really, because no. You're sort of cutting off your nose to spite your face. But the fact that you were able to do this, I have to vote on a week-to-week basis, so I'm not going to look too far ahead. You got numbers somehow. In a character we've seen nothing about, she managed to get all these people on her side and find a common cause to get behind. Kevin is a universal threat to everyone. So getting that person out is not horrible for your game. So whilst I don't agree with some of it, I think just the fact that she could do it is a testament to, I guess, how good a game she's playing. So for me, Liz gets the buff.
Look, this makes me understand you a great deal with how you give your buffs out per episode, because you give your buffs out on who sort of created the big move. And who did it? Not always. No. Definitely not. But these last 2 weeks, you definitely have. Whereas both those things is because it's the wrong move for the future that cancels that out completely for me. So Liz was not even on my radar.
Even but who else? But
I had to really have a think between Maria and Charlie. Okay. Well, I'll tell you right now. I gave it to Charlie. Charlie got invited into this Six Alliance. His name was never brought up. He had a really good shot at individual immunity and, like, fucking pulled some stuff off. And Maria, I genuinely believe it was Maria and Charlie who decided that Tevin went home. If they went with Tiff, I think we see Tiff going home. These guys, they're in the six, they're in everyone's ears, everyone's going to them, everyone needs them all the time. And that was the same this episode. I don't think Liz's plan gets steam without Maria and Charlie.
So that's where we both disagree. So I didn't have them as pivotal as you think they were. I don't think they were that pivotal. So I guess I can see where you gave it to him, but for me, coming second in the challenge and being bought into a six alliance that just fell apart, it's not a great place to be. So I don't know. I don't know if it's buff-worthy.
But he read it. He read it from the start. He was like, I've been brought into this alliance. This is awesome, but I can see that it's shaky. They were never brought up. Q's alliance member got brought up. Hunter's alliance member got brought up. Charlie and Maria were never brought up.
Yeah.
They've still got Ben on the outside. They seem to have relationships with everyone. They are going out of this episode in the best position, and I believe that they were a big part of this move.
All right. Hit me with the buff leaderboard then.
Okay. So obviously we've lost Tim, Barnu, and now Tevin on one buff apiece. They are joined by Maria, now Liz and Charlie, and Hunter. We got Tiff on two, Kenzie on three, and of course Q is still leading the leaderboard on five. I don't know for how much longer that's going to be, but
I don't think Q's extending his lead. It's who can catch him. That's the thing. Can anyone actually get a run of buffs week to week together? I'm not so sure. This season's up and down.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of different players getting the buffs, and obviously we had so much from Yanu at the start of the season. That's why they're up at the top. I genuinely believe Kenzie could take over Q quite comfortably. I think a Hunter, if he gets a few good episodes, he could take over. And a Maria, they're sort of the ones that I'm looking out for this season.
Well, it'd be interesting stretch into the home run of, yeah, well, how many episodes? Like four or five episodes left. So, it's, yeah, things are happening. The season's picking up a bit of steam now. There's a few fun characters that are sort of, yeah, at war. It's going to be a fun next few weeks. I really think so.
Yeah. Talking about the next few weeks, what do you got going on, Mac?
Mate, look, I've got a wedding on today, which is a bit of a shame because it's a bit of windy and raining, but wedding up at Glenworth Valley. I think it's like one of these hire the paddock sort of weddings and set it up. So it might be a little bit muddy and stuff, but it's just, look, weddings are fun regardless. I'll be there hitting the dance floor, you know, cutting some shapes, doing that. So it should be a good day. What about yourself, Buckles?
Mac, I've got, yeah, there's great things happening. I'm in Perth at the moment, hanging out with friend of the podcast, Mel Sheehan. Had awesome time, got some other friends over here that I'm catching up with, which is so much fun. Next weekend, Epic Oz Adventures 4-wheel driving is back, and ooh, we're going to Wattigans, up a little bit north from us. And that is supposed to be some very hectic four-wheel driving. So looking forward to seeing the other boys damage their cars while I get through scot-free again. and so, yeah, if you want to check that out, get us on YouTube at Epic Oz Adventures, all one word. But I think the biggest news is my friend, Sam Carlin from Kappa Immunity Podcast is joining us next week. It's going to be the three of us. We're going to have so much great banter. He's got so many great ideas on this season. I think he hates it as much as I do, but then is in love with American Survivor. So we've had some great chats. We've been chatting almost every week about the episodes, and I'm excited for you guys to hear his thoughts.
Look forward to that. Sam should be a great get. I've not actually met him before, but you've told big things about him. So I'm expecting a great podcast as usual.
Yeah, it will be. It will be. And guys, don't forget to hit us up, Facebook at Buffs Blindsides and Bant. Get us on Instagram at Survivor_3BS. Get us on Twitter or X at Survivor3BS and TikTok at Buffs Blindsides and Banter. And just to hear, in the next few weeks, we will be releasing a YouTube page. So
yo,
get excited for that. You, some of our previous podcasts will come out with the video version. Don't worry about my video content. I will be getting a webcam soon.
No, I'm sure your face looks good regardless. You don't need to upgrade that camera.
Oh, thank you. You just want me to look shit, so then you look better.
Well, it makes me look better. You know, like when you stand next to a four, it makes you look like a 10. So
exactly.
I'm joking.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. Well, anything to help you in your life, Mac.
That's it. I need all the help I can get. We all know that.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. I've been Buckles. He's been Mac. Q didn't quit. Have a great week. Thanks, guys.
See you, Buckles. Enjoy the Perth, mate. Mr. Yeah. Worldwide gets around. I'll see you back in Sydney next week with Sam. Look forward to it.
See you, mate. Bye.
You.
Yeah. Is this Survivor? Are you listening to Survivor?
Yeah.
Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.